wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is another week of the Gridiron Guys. Joining you as always is Zach and my co-host Cam. We are sitting here for myself. It is another lovely, hot, sunny 30 degree days up on the sunny coast. But I'm slowly counting down the days till my sabbatical is over and we are back in the studio next week. Cam, how's your week been looking out?
Oh, yeah, look, we were meant to have some touch football tonight, but sports grounds have closed the grounds due to a couple of drizzles of rain. They're a bit scared, but that's okay. You'll be back next week to take the field with us too, so we're pretty excited for that.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, isn't it? Nothing like a bit of social sport to get the blood pumping and really relive the heroic days, I suppose, the days of old now.
Yeah, we're trying to wind back the clock still. Look, some of us are getting pretty old and injured and probably shouldn't be out there any longer, but look, that's okay. It's probably the same as some of the blokes in the NFL.
Oh, fucking knows. I think there's a few people running around with that they really shouldn't be. But speaking of old guys, we have got plenty to talk about this week. And I know there is much to touch on and we're all looking forward to it. There was another great week of football on the weekend. But I suppose talking about a few things, touching back on last week, we did allude to the fact that we thought that maybe Christian McCaffrey should get traded. And lo and behold, pretty much as soon as we dumped the podcast the next day, he did. He got dished to the 49ers. That sort of trade, it looked really good on the 49ers. He just adds another really good piece of offense, and I don't think they gave up too much for him. But the real question is, we saw they did lose on the weekend, but overall, does this make them a contender now in the NFC?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, ear to the ground here at Gridiron Guys. We really know the ins and outs of what's happening before they're really going to drop, but you could call us the Adam Schefter from Australia, but yeah, look, his workload definitely will increase. I suppose we didn't see as much as what we thought. The first two drives were like, shit, this guy's just going to be running the rock for him flat stick. He had some good runs. He obviously improves their offense, but they were no match for the Kansas City Chiefs offense. That defense, we thought, is legitimate, and they really couldn't put away Mahomes and the Chiefs. I think their Call of Duty match wins leading up to the games has really helped in the last few weeks.
Yeah, it really brought that team together, didn't it? You saw guys like Juju and Valdez Scantlings really start to break out in that wide receiver role. And I suppose that's what you've been looking for Kansas City. They've been needing someone to replace Tyreek Hill. But yeah, looking on the San Francisco side, I think looking at the McCaffrey trade, what they gave up, I think there wasn't even a first rounder involved, was there?
No. I don't think so. I think there was a second rounder and a couple of other picks. Now, look, I actually don't hate it for Panthers. They're just accumulating picks left, right, and center, and they might not be done with just yet. There could be a couple of changes. I know people are trying to go all in on Brian Burns, but I don't know if they'll get that one done. But it doesn't matter. I think for either team, I think both teams were a bit of a winner there, but it's the contract for McCaffrey that's going to end up being an issue for San Fran in the future, I think.
Yeah, well, the San Fran, they want to look to improve, I suppose, and they want to get some success now, and they've built a really nice team. We know their defense is good. They held out the Chiefs quite well in that first half. That was a good game. And it wasn't until the second half that they broke out. But you just sort of see what he adds to their offense. You can see, as you said, the first couple of plays, he came out some barnstorming runs. But I think they used him quite sparingly over the game as well. Obviously, they're trying to find where he fits. There's AU, Kittle, and Debo Samuel that he just sits in. And he also gets the opportunity to run behind Juszczyk as well, who's the best fullback in the league.
That's right.
But you can see where the offense faltered was behind Jimmy Garoppolo.
Absolutely,
that was the issue. And long term, you can tell that Jimmy Garoppolo, although he is a serviceable quarterback, he hasn't got that X factor. We've known that before, and I think going forward, he's just not able to control drives or make things happen. And you can see that on the weekend. He faded out really quickly in that second half. Just the pressure started to get to him and the scoreboard ticked up and he just wasn't able to keep up. And I think that's what sort of limited those guys. So look, long term, I think this year, as much as it makes them more of a chance and their division is weak, I don't think it makes them a contender in the NFC, unfortunately. You look forward to next year, though, and I think we've been a little bit critical on Trey Lance, but I think it's sort of that surprise factor of, well, they've got to make that next step, and I think Trey Lance could potentially push them to that next step, and having a supporting cast like this around him certainly will give him the best basis to do so.
Yeah, this kind of, I think for me, if they don't do anything this year, this is going to be a massive what-if year for San Fran. Like, what if Trey Lance didn't get injured? What if he played and got those progressions in and started working? Like, got his everything in with the team and started sort of fitting into this offense and doing what they've expected him to do. I mean, he could end up being like Justin Fields and absolutely stinking, but I don't think so. I think Lance is going to be better long-term, but I think, yeah, as you said, like they're building around Lance, and it's just unfortunate he didn't get to play this year.
Yeah, and it's the risk they have to take. As much as it could blow up like a Justin Fields type scenario, they've seen enough with Jimmy G. They know what they're going to get. They're not going to get any further. So I think that's worth the risk. And as I said, building around him, they'll look next year. And hopefully he comes back bigger and better than ever.
Yeah, well, that's it. And I guess this pushes us to the next part is talking about a GM that's just kicking it out of the park at the moment, building around a rookie contract, is Howie Roseman, Eagles GM. Now, I suppose we kind of, and other people have just laughed at him when he made the Jalen Rager pick, and everyone's like, and you've seen the videos of people in the room getting pissed off with Roseman and he's trying to celebrate and no one's getting around him at all, rightfully so. But since that day, he has made some excellent picks. I think Jalen Hurts was one that people scratched their head at. And yeah, he might not be the future of the franchise, but for the moment, he's doing a serviceable job around a complete team. They are continually building this team around a really low rookie contract. And they've just picked up Robert Quinn. I mean, an old man, but 18 and a half sacks last year. Talk to me about production. That's all you need.
Yeah, and I think for a defensive unit like the Eagles at the moment, they're undefeated. They're playing really well. You've got older guys like Darius Slay is playing out of his skin and some of those younger guys, but you've guys like Fletcher Cox. And I think if you add another older head, it's just that veteran presence again as well. So once they start to get to those later games, I suppose when you start getting to the playoffs, things start counting a lot more. You know, sometimes those younger guys can really get ahead of themselves, especially if you're an undefeated team. So I think adding that veteran presence and that older head is really going to be able to keep things calm and sort of level headed and really keep them in a great state of mind. That it keeps that locker room, like, it's a great move on the field, but it's also a great move off the field.
Oh, it certainly is. And for a fourth round pick, I mean, you'd be crazy not to. And I think from what I saw, they were in on Brian Burns, but I reckon the asking price of Brian Burns is too much. And I don't think they were considering waiting on Bradley Chubb, because the talk on Chubb is that they're going to wait for the Jacksonville game. If you lose, there's talk that he's going to be moved on. But going back to the Eagles, I mean, if you told me you're going to get players like CJ Gardner-Johnson, James Bradbury, to draft Jordan Davis, and now you picked up Robert Quinn as well as Hassan Reddick. Like,
yeah,
what they've done, as well as AJ Brown, and they've still got 6 picks in next year's draft, as well as 2 first rounders, which one belongs to the Saints, which is currently a top 5 pick or top 6 pick. The Eagles are just built for success over the next little while. I mean, Hurts continually is going to be the issue come playoffs time. I don't know if he's going to be able to stand up, but that's yet to be seen. I don't think we can question that. So, yeah, I think he's done a fantastic job.
Yeah, no knock on him. You did mention Bradley Chubb. And so talking about other trades, I think the big thing that's going on at the Broncos is there's a lot of trade talk around them, a lot of rumors. And I think a lot of this is basically the Sharks are circling the boat, aren't they? This is really, there's blood in the water. And as we sort of talked, after this Jaguars game could be the line in the sand moment. I know there's talk about Nathaniel Hackett could be done after this week as well, potentially. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's not surprising that people are starting to sound out some guys like Jerry Jeudy and Bradley Chubb, who have been there for a few years. These are guys that are looking to expand their game, look for success. You know, this is kind of shades of Von Miller a couple of years ago when he got traded to the Rams, or last year, apologies.
Yep.
And I think the other side of this, why the Broncos are so leveraged to need to trade, is because you look next year and the sort of picks that we have over the next couple of years. There's nothing in the first or second round, I believe, for the next at least next year, potentially even the year after, because of the trades with Russell Wilson and those sorts of things that have been made.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty dire situation for you. And I think, yeah, looking at Jerry Jeudy, the rumors are him going to New York Giants. I guess they're a contending team with a man called Kenny Golladay that is burning up contracts and money and not delivering. So they're playing with next to nobody. Slayton's not too bad, but the rest of their guys, like, are not too bad either. But I think Jeudy would be a decent pickup for them. Other names to look out for that could be on the move: Kareem Hunt is one that's been shopped around. Cam Akers is obviously one we know that hasn't turned up since week 6, I think, to the Rams. So he's on the chopping block. Chase Claypool is one that's also been there. And I guess, as you said, you guys with Jeudy, Hamler and Bradley Chubb could be on the block.
Yeah. So I think when does the trade deadline close again?
The 1st of November. So I think following this week, like this round of games, I think the next day, maybe it could be done. So it could be an exciting time, or it could be a very dead period. Like, sometimes it just never really does anything, but there's teams that are contending that need to fill those holes and need to fill those pieces. So we'll see some movement, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so. And I suppose this is probably reaching back into the bag, but does OBJ get a look in this year, or do you think he's still a bit too sort of past it, I suppose, with the injuries?
I think he gets picked up, and I think looking at the Kelce, what Jason and Travis Kelce's podcast they were talking the other week, and they alluded to him going to Kansas City, and I mean that's not out of the realms of possibility. That's a good acquisition for them. Yeah. I think he lands somewhere. I think he goes here, Green Bay, Ravens. There's probably a handful of teams that could go back to the Giants. Wouldn't that be a fairy tale?
Yeah, especially the way that they're going. Like now that they're finally start, he sat there in all those tough years through the back end of Eli Manning's career, and he still managed to pull off all those numbers. Considering, it would probably be nice for him. He has got a ring, so it's not like he needs to chase the glory. But I think it's nice for him to go back to New York, where it all began, and actually enjoy some football there for him before he finishes up.
Oh yeah, he's still a quality receiver. I think he's not your number one, but he's just going to do a great job regardless.
Well, he's certainly shown what the Rams are missing this year. You know, Allen Robinson has not been there at all. He's been shocking. And I think just the presence, I mean, not that he was, it was like when Antonio Brown first went to the Tampa Bay. It's not like he put up amazing numbers back in the, like he did on his Steelers days. I think it was just his presence to potentially attract some attention here and there, make some nice, easy curl route catches, just the one, the short 10 yarders and things like that to just move the chains. And I think that's what they really need. They don't need a star, but they need a guy that is tried and tested and who can really make those plays when it counts.
Oh, 100%. I think you're absolutely right there.
So looking at, again, finally, as we said, the Sharks are circling on the Broncos. Finally, before we touch on this weekend's game, I think we got to talk about the maniac that is Russell Wilson.
Oh. Like,
this guy is just every week he manages to, I don't know whether he thinks he's making himself look better in the media, but all he's doing is just degrading himself and making himself the absolute laughing stock of social media. So they've went over to a flight to London this week, and he spent the whole time stretching, trying to work out a hamstring injury, which, to be honest, I wouldn't hate if he misses and Brett Ripien starts.
Yeah, look, I don't know if this is just something that's been there for his whole career, and just because they've been okay and it's not really come to light. Like, the more we're hearing now since he's been struggling, he just really strikes us as a very strange guy. I mean, Beast Mode and Sherman talked about they weren't able to ever contact him. You had to go through his agent to talk to him. He's just a very, very odd guy, and that's just playing out into the spotlight at the moment. So, yeah, look, wonder if his stretching will do anything for him for this week. You're kind of hoping he doesn't play. Do you think you can knock the Jaguars off? Do you think you win there, or is it going to be tough?
I think it's going to be tough regardless. So whoever starts for us, it's going to be interesting because the other thing is we've had no run game recently as well. So that's been able to take no pressure off the quarterback. Yeah. And you look at a team like the Jaguars, who are sort of at the moment so hot and cold, they will lose games, but they'll also lose and put up 30 points. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that we can't compete with. We can't consistently put up points. We've shown, I don't know how many touchdowns he's thrown for us. Probably I could count it on one hand, to be honest, I would assume. And
I think there's piss all. Yeah, you guys have not scored many.
Yeah, so I think even though the Jaguars are a bad team, they're a bad team that can score 30, and I can't even see us trying to run down 20 some of the time these days. So if they manage to get a sniff in, I don't know. And again, another trip to London, I don't think we've ever been in that in the game before, so we'll see how those guys handle the trip over the Tasman. Oh, not the Tasman,
he might be, yeah. The Pacific, over the pond of some description. Yeah, look, he might be overawed in the big stadium that is Tottenham.
Are they at Tottenham or Wembley? I thought I saw.
Oh, no, you are right. It could be Wembley. Yeah, no, that'd be exciting. Wembley would be a good stadium to play at.
Yeah. Because I think they're talking about, because they normally play at Tottenham, but I think they're talking about this is the first time they're playing at Wembley, maybe. This, correct me if I'm wrong. We could.
Oh, no, I think you're absolutely bang on there. I think Spurs have already had their two games there, and I think maybe now it's going to be at Wembley. Yeah, Wembley would be brilliant.
Yeah, Wembley Stadium. There you go. Yeah. Nah, perfect. But look, hopefully, just for the sake of the other guys on the plane, that they get the win and they don't have to listen to Russell on the 8-hour flight on the way home.
Yeah, we'll see.
But looking at week 7, that was a great week of football. We had some shockers and we had some really good upsets as well. I suppose it started with the Cards and the Saints. We actually had a Thursday night football game and we had some touchdowns. Not high quality, but we had a lot of touchdowns. So I think we're slowly getting to some good games on Thursday night. What was your take on this one?
Yeah, this one, I mean, it was pretty high scoring. I think, thank fuck we're not doing tipping this year because we would be absolutely dog shit. This league is, I think it's so like the strangest year we've had in quite a long time. But yeah, look, this game took a little bit to get into, but Saints are really, really poor. And I mean, that plays into, as we talked about before, the Eagles' hands. I think the Eagles are laughing every time they get a loss. And look, I don't think, I think we saw Arizona, like, they had a good receiver in Marquise Brown, but you can see the difference what happens when DeAndre Hopkins come in. I mean, 10 catches, yeah. 103 yards of 14 targets. He is a wide receiver one. He's a top five wide receiver in the league. But if we look across the page at the other wide receiver making waves, is Chris Olave. Man, that bloke is unbelievable.
Huge. He had a great day out. He's just been amazing. Like, for his rookie odds, I think you look at him, between him and Kenneth Walker, now that Breece Hall has gone down, they're sort of firming as the rookie of the year. I think they just need to keep feeding him. And they did, like, 14 targets to Olave. Mm-hmm. The next highest was 9 to Alvin Kamara, running back. So he was just sort of checking down to him anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
So clearly they're looking for him. And for a receiver group that has been decimated by injuries again, like Thomas, I don't even know what's even happened to him. He started and then he's gone again. And you got to look at Jarvis Landry, who came in and was going to be exciting but had nothing. So I think he's really stood up when they've needed him to. I think the interesting conversation about the Saints now looks to their quarterback. Jameis Winston was benched this week. Yep. And you look at their season between him and Andy Dalton, both have won like one game each, I believe, and the rest are all losses. But you look at what Andy Dalton's been able to give to the Saints, is it's an actual offense. Like, they are actually scoring. Their rate of scoring is about 30 points per game. Whereas with what Jameis was putting up was about 15 to 17. So I think, and when you turn that over to the turnovers that they both get, with which Jameis, we know he'll throw an interception per touchdown, that you need a guy like Andy Dalton. And I mean, we got to remember, Andy Dalton was great for the Bengals when he started. He took them to, you know, he ruled that AFC North for years just outside of with the Steelers. But I think the interesting thing is that, even though he's not amazing, and again, he doesn't have that X factor, he still manages to put up a lot of points. And you take away some of those interceptions, like, okay, of course, we can always make excuses for some of them. But you sort of take away those three interceptions and, you know, they're in the ball game. Like, they only lose by 8 at the end of the day. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's right. That was the crazy thing for me. I sort of was watching this game at work just on the third screen, and 14-6, 2 minutes into the second quarter, and then I turned it off for a little while, and what did they score? 3 touchdowns in the space of like a couple of minutes. It was absolutely ridiculous.
A couple of pick sixes as well.
The game turned on its head, 14-6 to 28-14, like within the blink of an eye. And it was crazy. And I think you mentioned quarterback being the issue here. I mean, they don't have a first-round pick. So what do they do going forward next year?
I think they're going to have to keep looking at Andy Dalton, because Jameis is obviously – I really wanted him to go well this year. And I thought, look, with his production, you could look beside the interceptions and things like that, because at least if you're putting up as an average team, like teams like Jaguars and potentially a little bit the Lions, but they haven't been able to do it recently. You know, if you're putting up 30 points consistently, at least you're staying in the fight. But I think this year what we've seen with Jameis is he just hasn't been able to do that. He's still throwing the interceptions, but his scoring output has not been there. So I think I'm going to hate to say it, but unfortunately I would like to see more of Andy Dalton in this role and get him more, and you start to get a few more guys around him. You know, if he has a full healthy team, and he might actually be able to score some really good points.
Yeah, look, you're right. Like, they're very depleted at the moment in terms of the offense. Am I getting too far ahead of myself here? Looking at guys like maybe Jimmy G. I know we're going to talk about the Patriots situation later, but someone's going to burn out there. Like, someone's going to take the QB1 role. I know you could keep one at QB2. That's fine. But teams are after quarterbacks. Quarterbacks at the moment are bloody, as you mentioned to me today, there's some absolute dish lickers getting around out there. There's some absolute stinkers. Like,
It's a merry-go-round, isn't it?
Like, well, that's right. You take a Mac Jones, you take a Bailey Zappi, you'd take a Jimmy G any day over someone like Andy Dalton.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't take a Carson Wentz, but you could potentially take a Matt Ryan if he ends out at the Colts or something like
that.
You know, like, or you look at the quarterbacks. There will be about like half a dozen starting quarterbacks, probably not half a dozen, but at least 3 or 4 starting quarterbacks coming in next year. So there'll be new guys again rotating through there as well. So, I mean, and hopefully Russell Wilson will be gone as well, but someone might take his contract. But there's going to be options. And it's this big merry-go-round at the moment, and there's a lot of moving pieces. But I think there is certainly a lot more movement. I think we're seeing a lot more movement of the quarterbacks than we used to.
Yeah, and I think you're pretty bang on there with, we're going to see guys get drafted. We're going to see starting quarterbacks coming to the league. So there's going to be guys that are currently starting quarterbacks, maybe not of high caliber, but still good enough to play better than what they've got at the moment. So I think Saints are one to watch for in the off season, because I know it's not tenable like to keep that situation going. But yeah, look, disappointing loss to them. Cardinals got away with one. They're still 3-4 and struggling in the West.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to the Monday slate of games, or Sunday night, we've got the Bengals dust the Falcons, Cowboys roll the Lions. Titans beat the Colts. Now, interestingly, as we sort of mentioned, Matt Ryan could be on the chopping block. He is. I believe he's on he got injured, but they did make a mention that he will be benched regardless of injury. So Sam Ellinger – oh, no, sorry, Jacob Eason, I believe, comes in for the Colts next week.
Oh, I think it might be – I think you're right with Sam Ellinger. Maybe I think it was Sam Ellinger. First. Yep. Yeah. And I think someone mentioned that a few weeks ago when we asked the question. We'll see Sam Ellinger sooner rather than later, and we thought, no, that's not going to happen. Matty Ryan picked it up. But, yeah, look, they struggled against the Titans big time.
Yeah, and I think, look, because interesting – Titans haven't been able to go big, and Derrick Henry went away big this weekend, which is what they need to do. But again, it sort of showed another guy that's out there, Ryan Tannehill, is just really not being able to manage a good offense, has he?
No. Well, I mean, I haven't heard anything about Ryan Tannehill. That's sort of the biggest thing. I think last few years have been going well. Everyone's going, oh, man, Tannehill this, Tannehill that. He can get in the end zone. Like, he's been running quite well and throwing quite well. I mean, they lost receivers, and we said that's going to be a glaring issue for them because they had some decent receivers, and now they've got some guys that aren't that great, and they're not scoring points, but defensively they're sound.
Well, I think they're 4-2 at the moment. Tannehill sits just over 1,000 yards, so he's 25th in the league in that. He's got six touchdowns, but only three interceptions. So
that's okay.
So he's really not doing much. Probably the interceptions is the best part, but he's only throwing six touchdowns, so he can't really. Like, there are guys that are throwing 12, 15, only throwing interceptions at the moment. But I suppose, obviously, the shoulder of the load is going down to Derrick Henry. You know, 30 carries, 128 yards. But he currently sits fourth in the running back charts. I suppose they're going to have to lean on him, but it's going to be another question of how far can this one-trick pony, can they make this one-trick pony go?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Like, you can't lean on that forever. They're going to have to do something. And we haven't seen Malik Willis that much, to be honest. And I thought maybe we'd see him more. But I guess while they're still winning, we're not going to see him as much. But Tannehill's days are numbered for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think moving on to a couple of surprise packets, we had the Commanders taking down the Packers and the Panthers beating the Bucks. Now, I think which one would you like to talk about first? I think probably, for me, the most astounding one was the Commanders win. I just thought, like, there's no way. There's no way Rodgers goes back-to-back losses like that. But they just pieced up nothing, and he just doesn't look interested at all, does he? I don't see him wanting to be out there. He clearly wants to win, but he just doesn't look, like, interested at all.
No, he doesn't. You're right. And he's spraying other blokes on his team and all sorts of stuff. And it's funny, like, someone was mentioning the other day, they're like, oh, damn, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have, like, any wide receivers to throw to. I mean, not everyone does either. Like, I mean, there's some other teams doing really well at the moment. Like Daniel Jones. Who the fuck's he throwing to? Who the hell is Daniel Jones throwing to? And who is Daniel Jones compared to Aaron Rodgers? Like, I don't think that's a reasonable excuse anymore. I know the situation isn't good, but what situation is good that the teams are doing well? I know Eagles is pretty decent. Bills is decent. Like, teams are decent, but the Giants are one that's an anomaly there. Like, their wide receiver core is all over the shop, and they're 6-2, 5-2, something ridiculous. 6-1.
Yeah, 6-1. Yeah. And I mean, look at the Packers as well. Like, okay, maybe they don't have receivers, but you've got to look at Alan Lazard. He's decent. And Romeo Doubs could be a starter on any team straight out of rookie. But you look at what they got in the back with Jones and Dylan. Like, that's probably one of the best 1-2 punches in the league as a running back combo, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
It's crazy.
It's a weird one. Yeah.
And especially because you look at Taylor Heinicke came in for Washington. The Heinicke man, he did it again. Like, he just knows how to win football. And I think he's a guy that clearly knows his days are numbered, but just keeps turning up every single day.
Yep. Oh, he certainly does. And I think he's just doing an outstanding job. But, yeah, look, it's a hard one for Sam Howell because I think you got to keep Heinicke. Like, is he going to start somewhere else or do they keep him?
I think they're probably going to keep him long term because, I mean, Carson Wentz clearly is just that's done. Ever since we talked about it last week again, ever since the ACL, he's gone from thing to thing and he's just not been any good. And I think people, like, maybe he got away with it last year. He got a decent contract at the Colts and the Colts like, nah, we're going to offload him. Commanders thought maybe there's still, you know, we can put the right guys around him. We can still get something out of this guy. But I think this is sort of three franchises in a row where he has shown that he's just not capable anymore. And so I think the asking price for him is going to go way down. And I don't see why, as the Commanders, that you don't keep a guy like Heinicke, who clearly hasn't, I don't know if he's looked anywhere, but by the sounds of it, he hasn't looked to go anywhere. He likes Washington. He likes what he's doing. So I don't see why they could keep him around and then keep him around for Howell when he's ready.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So, look, it's, I don't know what happens with him, because people have given up the house to keep this bloke in the team or acquire this guy. And he's, I mean, surely it's not possible to keep moving him on for that much. I mean, his value is going to be so much less now, but he's never going to hit those heights again.
No, not at all. You can only pull the wool over so many times. I think he needs to cash in and realize where he's at now. So, but looking from them, as we sort of mentioned, the Panthers take down the Bucks. I mean, this was even more crazy. You talk about PJ Walker coming in starting. They've just traded away their best player in Christian McCaffrey. And you're playing Tom Brady, who, you know, should at least score a touchdown, but they keep him to one field goal. It's wild considering, you know, a 2-5 Carolina team goes to Tampa Bay and does that.
Well, is Tom Brady the biggest issue for the Bucks at the moment? Is he the issue for them?
Yeah, I reckon so. It has to stem around him. Like, there's nothing else that it could be. You know, that defense is amazing. Obviously, that they're keeping teams to, you know, all right scores. They're not getting blown out or anything like that. No. But I think it has to be, because he's the one running the show, essentially. And it's always been that way. He's always run a good system. He ran a good system the year he won the Super Bowl with them. You know, he ran a good system for years at New England. But they're just not able to get anything going. And I think, what is that, back-to-back losses, you know, for the first time in a row for a while now. And he's not producing, essentially.
No, he's not. And they're struggling a little bit in the run games, but I think they're allowing more than what they normally do. So, that bodes well for it. We're playing them this week, tomorrow, actually. So when this comes out, it'll be the day of. That kind of makes me worried taking him on this week. I know that's looking forward to what we're talking about later. But, yeah, Bucks surely have a game in them, and that makes me nervous for us this week. But, yeah, look, we'll look at the rest of the slate of these games.
Yeah, absolutely. I think touching on, look, Giants kept rolling. They beat the Jags. You guys just eke over the Browns. What did you think about this one?
Yeah, look, it wasn't fantastic. We got a gritty win. Oh, we looked okay in patches. Again, we're letting in late scores. That just seems to be where we're struggling the most. We can't hold teams out. Lamar, again, wasn't fantastic. He's sort of having a bit of a struggle at the moment. So there's all this talk around him not that glad they didn't pay him, or they shouldn't have paid him, or anything like that. But yeah, look, this week, I guess, will determine. We've got, I think, the next five or six games for us, we're not playing, or I don't know if we play anyone now that has a winning record for the rest of the season currently.
Yeah, so that would bode well. But I mean, you look at some of the teams, like, they are still potential banana peels. Like, as you said, Buccaneers, Saints should be all right. Look, Panthers, depending on what they do, you know, always playing against your division, Steelers, Browns, Bengals. That's sort of a tough road home. But looking at some of those other teams you play, like Jaguars, Broncos and Falcons, they should be wins. But all teams that could potentially run up a score or have their day, essentially, like wins in waiting.
Oh, you're absolutely right. They can. Like, I think there's easily games we can drop there very quickly. I guess looking at our losses still, I always go back to our losses. And I think we saw Dolphins with Tua is definitely a much better team. The Bills are very good. They're a top three team, and Giants are top five to eight team in the league. So we've lost two decent teams. I think three top 10 teams for sure. So that's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, all you can ask for is coming away with those division wins, because at the end of the day, that's those tiebreakers. And that's probably what's going to come down to a tight division like yours.
Oh, absolutely will.
And then moving on, we've got Raiders beat the Texans. We lost to the Jets. I think we don't need to talk about that spud roll anymore. but look, probably the last couple of games, Dolphins beat the Steelers. As we sort of said, Tua came back and played really well. But I think sort of the interesting ones, we talked about Chiefs beating 49ers. The interesting one was the Seahawks beating the Chargers. Now, I think if you look at us, and we've talked about what we talked about at the start of the year, none of us gave the Seahawks a chance. I don't think anyone did. I don't even think majority of the Seahawks guys probably weren't a surprise about how well they're going. But you know who I think is the only person who is not surprised about this in the whole world is Geno Smith. He's not surprised at all. He's believed in himself from day dot. And all he said was he's going to do something simple this year. And he said he's just not going to throw as many interceptions. And I think doing that, he is really focused in on the best thing. He's only thrown three all year, but he's thrown 1,700 yards. So he sits seventh in the league. And he's thrown 11 touchdowns, so he's six in the league. And he's just made his game that much more simple, and it's got them sitting at the top of their division.
Yeah, well, I guess from this game, I've got two quick questions. I guess the first one you can answer quickly. Are the Seahawks the best team in the NFC West right now?
Yeah, absolutely. On form.
Yep. Yep. Oh, look, I'd agree. I think they definitely are. My second one is, are the Chargers and Justin Herbert really just not that good? Like, I know Brandon Staley cops a lot, and I feel like Justin Herbert's a quarterback that seems to always get a pass from people. Like, he has a bad game. Oh, no, it's okay. It's Justin Herbert. He's good. He's very good. Like, and he is. But other quarterbacks don't get the same thing. Like, even Burrow with a crap game absolutely gets sprayed. But Herbert seems to genuinely always get a pass. But I don't know if the Chargers are genuinely that good.
I think they are. Like, you look at what they're like, Eckler is killing it on their front line, considering he's playing great. Oh. I think Herbert's still playing well, but you got to look, their front line is like that. Their O-line is gone. Like, Rashawn Slater was gone for the year and a few other guys are out injured. Yeah, so that's really proven. I mean, again, you've only got Eckler as your only receiving guy. Mike Williams is slow as shit, but he's a big target. Other than that, like, Keenan Allen's sort of been in and out with injuries, we know. They don't really have anyone else to throw to. I mean, I suppose we did say, like, with Rodgers, you know, when does the buck stop with shitty receivers? But I think really the Los Angeles Chargers at their best can be one of the better teams in football. And I think at the moment, though, Herbert probably does get a little bit of a pass. I will understand. There are media darlings, and that's just the way it works. We're out of control of that. But I think, look, you look at his game, it probably could have been better, but it definitely wasn't bad either.
No, look, I think it might be a bit of a harsh judgment. I was just trying to gauge your – and you're probably right. Like, I mean, their roster top to bottom is pretty sound. Like, they've got good pieces. I know they just lost J.C. Jackson for the season, but he's another guy who's struggled. He was playing unbelievably over the last 4 years in New England, came to the Chargers on big dollars, and has given up a horrible rating. Like, he's been absolutely torched, and they've struggled in that sense. But, yeah, you're right. And we did talk about wide receivers being – it shouldn't be the issue for kill quarterbacks if the quarterback's good enough. But offensive line is a big loss. I think it's an underrated thing. I think a good offensive line, as we know, can make or break you. Like, there's teams that have built an offensive line and their subpar quarterback play is upheld.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really provides a platform, because at the end of the day, as much as these, like, some of these quarterbacks are shit, they are in the NFL. So they are one of the best 32 in the world. So you assume that with enough time and enough and not much pressure, they will be able to make those throws and they will be able to make those correct decisions.
Yeah. No, definitely. I agree.
And then finally moving on, probably, again, surprise around, which surprised us as well. The Bears absolutely romped the Patriots. Like, they went to Foxborough too, which is not an easy place to go and play at this time of year. And they just absolutely decimated them.
Yeah, they did. Look, Bears, in all facets of the game, they dominated them. And we saw the Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi quarterback issues play out. I guess we'll talk about that later. I've got a little bit to say on that. But, yeah, that'll be an interesting one going forward. But Bears looked good. They scored points, and fair play to them.
Yeah, because I think they did the one thing that they knew was how to get the best out of Justin Fields, and that was to give him the ball. He ran well. He made short, nice, concise throws. Yes, he probably overthrew a couple of times and he did throw that interception. But I think for the majority of it, he kept it sort of safe. He kept it in the hands of the runners and they didn't try to overreach too much. And with the field positions and things like that they were given, once you get enough opportunities, they will start to come. And again, it's that pressure, it's that scoreboard pressure. You start knocking on that door. They got that nice 10-0 lead or whatever at the start, just built that. Patriots did come back. They turned it 14-10. But I think after that, that's the same pressure. They scored those like 23 points unanswered, and that was sort of the killer.
Yeah, well, that did. Zappi came in and we thought, shit, here's the change of the game. Here's the turning of the tide. But nah, he struggled again himself, unfortunately, which we were disappointed about.
Yeah, because he came out like a house on fire. And I think it's really encouraging to see guys like that take the game on. And I think that's the thing we're seeing with him, Zappi, and even guys like Pickett. You know, yes, they are throwing probably a lot of errant throws and picks, but these guys are really taking the game on and being aggressive and trying to push that throw. And I think as much as it's not ideal at the moment because it's going to cost you games, in the long run, it's only going to serve them better.
Oh, it will. They'll gain a lot out of that. But, in the short term, it's tough to watch as a fan.
Yeah, so that sort of wraps up week 7. So we'll look towards our player awards this week, starting off with Rookie of the Week. As we did mention, Breece Hall went down with an ACL, so he's done for the season. He had a great first 7 games. I know we sort of talked about him a couple of weeks ago as being a really good potential. And, you know, you could just see those barnstorming runs. So he's a guy to watch out for in years to come. But that opens the door for some new opportunities. I know myself at running back for my pick this week was Kenneth Walker, the running back out of Michigan State. He has absolutely been tearing it up for the Seahawks the last couple of weeks on the ground. But mainly it's those contacts, those PCMs, the post-contact meters. He's been absolutely killing it. But this week he picked up 167 yards and two tutties in the win over the Chargers.
Yeah, he was fantastic. And I guess once that Breece Hall injury came in, poor guy, the odds for Kenneth Walker to be offensive rookie of the year really shot down low. Like they really came in hard. So he's been excellent. Oh, I can't fault him. He's been awesome for them. They've found so many gems in this draft and he's one of them.
Yeah, classic. Who was your rookie of the week?
Well, we just talked about the Bears and the Pats game, and I've taken Jaquan Brisker. This guy's been electric through the start of the season. 42 total tackles of the season, 30 solo. And he picked up an intercept this week. It was an absolute cracker of an intercept, and it just was a great take. And he's just been awesome. Great safety for them. And just to pick up that, I mean, out of Penn State, I don't know what round he was picked. I don't think he was super high. I don't think he was super low in the middle rounds, but he's been awesome for them, and he's been great going forward.
Yeah, huge by them. Then we look onto the offense. A guy that we talked about last week, I said he was back, and he was back in another big way. Joey Burrow, again, another great offensive day. 481 yards, three touchdowns, and the one on the ground. You can really see this guy's here to play, and I think in a division like the AFC North, he's right for the picking for him, and he wants to go back to that promised land.
Yeah, look, Joe B was good. He was firing on all cylinders. I think Boyd and Chase were unbelievable as well. So they looked really good, pretty scary. I think I'm glad we've kind of already beaten them. But, yeah, Burrow is back.
Burrow's back, yeah. What are we looking at on your side of the footy?
My side of the footy is a guy we talked about multiple times this season. We said they're going well because we don't hear about him. We're starting to hear about him. He's knocking on the door. He's kicking down the door. He's making noise. That is Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes. He 19 of 30, 202 passing yards, one TD, 107 rushing yards and a TD. I don't know what makes him such a good rusher. And they always like to use this term gritty when they talk about quarterbacks that can run, but that's normally only when they're white. They're just a gritty player. But I feel like they don't run a spy. Teams don't run a spy on Daniel Jones like they do with Lamar Jackson, like they do with Kyler Murray, like they do with Jalen Hurts. And that sort of opens up for him. Once that sort of plays open up, he's an athlete. He's actually quite a decent athlete. So he's got my offensive player of the week this week.
Yeah, it's weird because he actually has put up a lot of rushing touchdowns when he's not tripping himself over. So there is that to think about. But no, huge games by him and huge games by the Giants. Now we look to the defense. A guy that's been knocking down the door. Holy shit. I have loved him for Rookie of the Year as well. He's featured there multiple times. And now he gets a run in the actual Defensive Player of the Week. It is the one and only Sauce Gardner. Welcome aboard, brother. 10 tackles, 3 pass defense. I think he got targeted about 10, 11 times, only allowed 4 catches for 20 yards in another lockdown day. And I think it's interesting because he's not putting up crazy intercept numbers or crazy tackle numbers, but it's because this guy just either doesn't get thrown at or when they do, he just knocks those down. It's ridiculous. He's like a blanket, this kid.
Yeah, look, I was a bit bullish on him. We heard all those stats coming out of college, and yeah, he played at Cincinnati, the AAC. It's not that strong, but I mean, he's just a football player. He's a pure cornerback. He's top 5 for me at the moment in the whole league. Like, he is locked down. He is unbelievable in coverage. I mean, over the last 2 years, we've seen some exceptional corners that are sitting top 5 at the moment. Paddy Surtain for you is top 5 easy, and now this guy's got to be top 5. I know he's top 10, but yeah, rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, sorry, is sewn up for me.
Just fantastic. We love that to see that. And then for yourself on the defense?
In a losing team, and we talked about the Packers struggling, but I've gone Devondre Campbell. Huge game. 12 tackles, 7 solo, 3 tackles for loss, a pass defensed, and a pick 6 for 63 yards. I think that's a great day out.
Huge. So, again, as we sort of always do, these will be up on our socials for you guys to vote. We'll try and get them sorted before the game tomorrow so that we can work that into the weekend. But looking at our player stonks, what's rising, what's falling in the world of the NFL, excuse me. So we look to the ticker board. Cam, who are you buying this week?
I'm buying PJ Walker. Far out. Like, this man's journey is fantastic to the league. And in a dire situation, I mean, all you needed to do was get rid of the used car salesman in Matt Rhule and you've got yourself a proper NFL coach. But PJ Walker, outstanding. 16 to 22, 177 yards. Not huge yards, but 2 touchdowns and a win against the Buccaneers. What more can you ask for?
Love that. For me, I am buying stocks in John Snyder, the Seahawks GM. What this guy has done has just been absolutely phenomenal. you know, you look at him in the previous, he was held as one of the best GMs for some of his drafts and, you know, took them to the Super Bowl with the Legion of Boom. He had guys like Russell drafted him, sort of fell off a bit recently with some trades. And I think a lot of people were really skeptical about him trading away Russ and not getting rid of Pete Carroll and some of those other guys out there. But it's the more games that they play without him, the more that they realize that he did such a good job. You look, he got 2 firsts and 2 seconds for Russell Wilson, plus players. So he's got Drew Lock, Noah Fant, who's just slipped into the team as well. He's been a great tight end for them.
Yeah.
And then you look at the draftees that he got this year, guys like Kenneth Walker, Tariq Woolen, that are actually, you know, not just the best rookies, but the best player in that position in the whole league. And they weren't even drafted in sort of the first round as well. So this guy's just on another level.
Oh, he is, and there's two guys. I guess we talked about offensive line before, but the two, like Abraham Lucas and Charles Cross. I mean, fuck, these guys have been excellent, and they've just picked it up and ran with it. So yeah, I think he's underrated as a GM, this guy.
Yeah, he's doing the right stuff. Now for me, selling this week, I am going the Steelers defense. Now they have had an absolute shocker. I know we talked about them, you know, being able to cover the loss of TJ Watt, and we made exceptions for them, but they sit here now at 2-5, losing to Miami by 6 points in a game where they recorded no sacks, no interceptions. They also dropped 4 easy intercept chances as well. You watch some of the film of those guys, and they have been thrown to the absolute chest. So I think Tua got away with one there. They also allowed over 100 yards on the ground. And I think they only got sort of one or two QB pressures for the whole game. So they just really, they're just not bringing it, are they?
It's not what we're used to seeing. And I think that's very odd for the Steelers. But yeah, they're struggling this year. No doubt when they come into their conference games, they'll probably play a little bit better. But they threw away that game. Those 4 picks, even 2 of them, you get them, probably changes the game completely. So yeah, that's a struggle for them at the moment.
Massively. And who are you selling off this week?
Oh, I'm selling the quarterback competition for the Patriots. I thought we saw Brazelius Zappi and we're like, oh, here he comes. This is what we're after. And then Mac Jones came back. And I mean, what, a couple of drives in, the crowd's already calling for Zappi to come in. You'd think as a coach, you're bringing back in your quarterback one that you started the season with. Give him more sets. Give him more time to get in the game. Get the rust off. But they changed it straight away. Zappi came in and looked like, here we go. We're on 2 touchdowns. And then from there, holy dooly, second half started. And the issues came flying back. I think a couple of turnovers, a couple of picks. Aggressive. But yeah, turned it over way too many times.
Yeah. And so I think looking at that, Mac has already been announced as the starter for next week. So
yep.
Going forward, you can see that whatever's going on in that ticker mind of Bill Belichick, he wants Mac. He knows that Bailey Zappi's got the arm for it and he's got the caliber, but long term at the moment, the safer option looks like it's Mac.
Yeah, look, it is, and then we'll see what happens as we go through the season, if they win or lose more games. But I guess that wraps up our awards, and we'll move into week 8.
Yeah, starting off with a huge game, as we sort of talked about before. The Ravens taking on the Bucs. Now, normally this should be a huge game, but looking at it at the moment, it's just the way that the Buccaneers are playing and the way that you guys are sort of just getting over the top. You know, what we're expecting would be normally a high offensive game, but I think we may see quite the opposite, really.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know. I'm worried about how this one's going to play out. We're without Calais Campbell. He is ill this week, so that's a big loss for us on the defensive front. So we need a few guys to step up there. Look, Lamar's back at home in Florida, so hopefully he really puts on a show. But I'm still concerned that Brady and the Bucks, that they never stay down for too long.
Yeah, it's just got something hiding, isn't it? But for me, if Lamar can hold this out, this could be the game that puts Brady's career to bed. Like this could really be the dagger, couldn't it? This could take down the career of Tom Brady once and for all.
Well, yeah, 3-5 marriage issues and not a very bleak outlook on the rest of the season. So yeah. Could see the end of him.
Then we look over to, we're talking about the London game, the Broncos take on the Jags. Now, as I sort of said, this could be an interesting one. It's all going to be on depending on how our defense can play and what sort of score we can keep to the Jags. And, you know, is that going to be one that we're going to be able to keep up with?
I think you will. I think you can keep teams to a low enough score. It's just whether you guys can score. So we just need Russell to really open his eyes and actually look at his receivers other than playing Ray Charles style.
Oh, fuck. Tell you what. Then we look at these games. There's actually only one game against both where both teams have a positive record. And that, interestingly enough, is the Giants and the Seahawks. So I know we wouldn't have been expecting that one if you were looking at this a couple of weeks ago. Hey?
No, definitely not. I think if a lot of people are saying that, like, yeah, this is the only game that has two teams with a winning record playing each other, which is wild. I mean, these two teams we expected to be absolute crap. They've turned up and been all right. But, yeah, look, week eight's going to be an interesting one. Like, I don't see any games that I love here. That one will be an interesting one. I think Seahawks can probably still get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose a couple of ones that will have some interesting outcomes. You look at the Bears and the Cowboys. Cowboys looking to shore up a bit in the NFC East as well and put the Bears to bed. Cardinals play the Vikings. Now, obviously, Cardinals 3-4. Kyler Murray sort of back, but the Vikings come rested off a bye, so you assume that they will come in really ready and amped to go. Patriots v. the Jets. This could be an interesting one. It's a battle out there in New York. We know division rivals. But does Mac have the stuff to take on Zach Wilson, essentially, who will be without Breece Hall? So I think that's really going to affect their offense for them.
It'd be interesting, yeah, because I guess we see James Robinson was traded to the Jets. So I think we'll see his workload really shift. I think he obviously was disappointing for the Jaguars season. Like, he wasn't getting that many runs after the first few weeks. So they moved to Travis Etienne, which is fine. But it's good for him. I think he's going to flourish there.
Couple other ones. Look, the 49ers and the Rams. This one, again, Rams coming off a bye, and the 49ers, Christian McCaffrey, another week in. You know, will we sort of see a really high-octane game with a lot of offense? I think potentially yes.
Yeah, look, I think we would have pegged this at the start of the year as being what a game this could be. But, yeah, sitting at 3-4 and 3-3, not really sure what we're going to get.
Not at all. And then wrapping it up, we've got Packers v. the Bills. Again, could have been an amazing game, but you look at the Bills, they're too good, too big, too strong. Rodgers has just had so many problems, and you just think they're going to get absolutely bullied by that Bulls defense, which is just absolutely world class. And then the pressure, the scoreboard pressure that those guys are going to put on an offense is just going to be absolutely ridiculous. Like, Josh Allen, he's just absolutely, he's just braining everyone, isn't he? Just absolutely destroying them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, they'll take this game, and I think quite easily. I think Packers are. They'll move to 3-5, and they're struggling in their division. I think if the Vikings can get the win, as we mentioned earlier, then that kind of puts a gap between them and the Packers, and I think that sews up the North.
Yeah, and then wrapping it up on the Monday night game, we have the Browns hosting the Bengals. And now we know Browns, elite defense, another interdivisional matchup. You assume that they'll make an absolute scrap of this, but the way that Joe Burrow is playing at the moment, that man is just going to be absolutely unstoppable, I reckon.
Yeah, look, I think they'll probably keep it a little bit closer, but yeah, Bengals should get it done in the end. Browns could move to 2-6, and by the time Deshaun Watson comes in, they're going to be cooked.
Yeah, I don't even think he looks to be coming in this year anymore, does he?
Oh, I'd be very surprised. Things just keep popping up out of nowhere. So, look, I'm not disappointed. It'd be nice just to knock the Browns over completely and knock the Steelers over completely this year. They're both sitting at 2-5, so the North is normally quite a strong division, looks to be battling.
Yeah, and that sort of wraps up week eight. We're edging closer to sort of the halfway point there, which is really exciting. Flipping to the college football, we're getting to the pointy end of that season. Another huge week of games, some really tight matchups, some ranked opponents that came up against each other, and some huge comebacks. It was a good day out, wasn't it?
Oh, it was fantastic. Now, disappointing for Syracuse. I thought they played pretty well. The refs were on the side of Clemson, it seemed. I think they got a few favourable calls. They got away with the win to stay at 8-0, but I don't think Clemson are that good, and I don't know if we'll find out until the playoff how good they actually are.
No, because looking at this win now, they could potentially cruise through the ACC, and they would likely, because they've beaten sort of the guys on their side of the division, they would likely play North Carolina in the championship game, who are not that crash hot this year. No. Roll through, and you'll just assume sitting at number, what are they, 5 at the moment?
Yeah.
Barring something crazy coming up, I think they get into the playoffs because at the moment the Pac-12 is all one loss teams, no undefeated, and you've got undefeated from all the other conferences. So looks to be them. DJ Uiagalelei got benched halfway through the game, but he's going to be starting again this week. So that's another odd one to me. I think he clearly is not the guy for them. They only won the game because they got rid of him, and essentially that fourth quarter comeback was led by their backup. Yeah. And Will Shipley, he's something else, isn't he? He's crazy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, so I guess, as you said, Clemson's going to be an interesting one because, yeah, as you said, I guess Pac-12, unfortunately, I think Oregon, they look pretty good at the moment. Bo Nix is playing some good football. They could be a team that misses out just because, I guess, we've got sitting in there? Michigan and Ohio State. One, someone's got to lose there.
Yep.
Georgia, right. Tennessee, Alabama. Someone's going to lose in eventually one of those games. And that sort of knocks out a few of your guys. And that leaves Clemson to just rise to the top.
Yeah, correct. Unless TCU do something crazy. I mean, you look at Oregon, like Oregon's own, like Bo Nix, crazy. Couple of good, couple of weeks. And their only bad game was against Georgia. That's the one they lost in the first week. So I think looking at a guy like Bo Nix and the way that he's been throwing the ball recently, there's no reason why if they win out and they win the Pac-12 that you could have a one-loss Oregon team, results pending, slip in that fourth place.
Yeah, oh, they definitely could. I think that they're one that is actually decent. Yeah, the loss to Georgia is not great, but it's Georgia. Georgia are great.
Yeah, absolutely. Another couple of big games was the LSU Ole Miss one. LSU coming in and scoring, I think, about 28 points or something absolutely ridiculous, you know. Ole Miss go out 14-3 in the first quarter. It looked like they're absolutely braining them. And then it was just all one-way traffic from there out of Bordeaux, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, they were fantastic. Jaden Daniels was excellent. It's nice to see Lane go down. I think Ole Miss aren't actually that great. LSU are starting to play a lot better. So, look, makes Tennessee's win against them, as I've said before, look really good.
Yeah, it just adds to your resume, doesn't it? Texas, Oklahoma State, another comeback from the Cowboys. That was just wild as well in that fourth quarter. I think Quinn Ayers, he was really good at the start of the game. I really loved what he did. You know, he showed that he is has the potential to grow into a really good quarterback. And, you know, potentially when it comes to his, whether he finishes on junior or senior year, he could potentially be a top, you know, five draft pick easily if he keeps going at this rate. But you could see that the Cowboys towards the end of the game, they really won it. And the pressure, it just got to Ayers. He wasn't able to complete. He wasn't able to find any guys. And he was just absolutely struck down with just that quick pass rush and just not able to make it. And I think they really used that to their advantage to take the win.
Oh, they did, yeah. Cowboys are a good team. And talking of other comebacks, TCU, they've chalked up another comeback. And they've, I think they're the same as us. They've beaten four ranked teams throughout the season. We're the only two teams to do that. And they just keep winning.
Yeah, and against the Kansas State team that has really surprised everyone. So I think they really earned that win. Looking along at their following, what have they got coming up? They've got West Virginia, Texas Tech. They've got Texas, Baylor, and then Iowa State. So I think no more ranked opponents as yet, but certainly programs that do hold a little bit of stead. You know, Texas and Baylor, two teams that would be interesting. And then what do they come away? They're no conference in the Big 12, so likely come up against, you know, potentially like Kansas State or OK State again.
Yeah, so look, it could be an interesting one for them, but they could run the rest of the table and punch it through and put up a case to make the playoff.
Yeah. Looking to week nine now. So as we said, we're getting to the pointy end. We're going to start seeing a lot more. We've got some good matchups. Ohio State take on Penn State. Penn State have lost only one game, but they got absolutely mauled by Michigan. So I think this will be the start of the test for Ohio State. We sort of talked about they haven't really played anyone good. They're 7-0. Like CJ Stroud is absolutely dialing it in to those guys, but this is going to be the start of the test. You start playing in Penn State, so you start playing in Michigan. So this is where they're really going to find out who this team really is.
Yeah, and I think it plays into Penn State's hands that it's in Penn State, which is a very tough atmosphere to play in. So that I think Ohio State get it done, but it could be a bit of a grind.
Massively. And then, look, Florida going to Georgia, they'll probably get rolled, but it's always good. Florida always brings a crowd, don't they? Oklahoma State take on Kansas State. That could be an interesting one, but you look to see the Cowboys would take that one. And then a couple others. You guys take on Kentucky. I think Will Levis still – is he injured or is he back?
No, I think he's back here. And this could be an interesting game for us. This could be a slip up, a potential slip up. Their defense is legitimate. Will Levis is starting to play better, but it's hard to say we're going to get knocked off. We look pretty good at the moment, and we've got our blackout uniforms. Could be funeral.
Yeah, we love that. So, look, the way that Tennessee is playing, Neyland State is rocking. I might need to jump across depending on if we trounce Arizona or not. And then probably the other finally ones will be the Michigan State versus Michigan. Although, look, Michigan State probably not going to put up a fight, are they?
No, I think Michigan State might cover the line, but I think Michigan do get it done. They are very good. I'm very keen for the Michigan-Ohio State game later this year. But yeah, look, mate, just going back to what you said, there's always more room on Rocky Top whenever you'd like to join us.
Look, I think I'm going to leave my NFL team before I leave my college team at this rate. So, look, that wraps us up for this week. It's been another amazing one. As we always say, catch up on the socials. We'll be out there trying to get some stuff out there. So please vote and follow with your feet. Like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you all then.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.